Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. James is writing this letter so that the people who receive it, those who have been dispersed because of the persecutions in Jerusalem by the Jews after St. Stephen's murder, his stoning to death, over which St. Paul was watching and governing. St. James writes to all of those Christians who have been exiled, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In other words, that you would come to maturity, that this trial, that these difficulties, that this resistance that you meet in this world from the forces that are against God and his people, that they would be the very means by which God is bringing you to your full maturity. And then he has several warnings. Last week, we talked about the right use of the tongue. We discussed how we hear the admonitions not to use your tongue wrongly, and we make that into the admonition never to use your tongue, never to speak. And that is what James is not saying. Or we hear in chapter 2 about faith without works is dead. And we end up pitting these things against one another. That is why James in this chapter ends, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." He knows in his conscience what is the right thing to do. He knows what he believes. He knows what God has said to him and revealed to him in the scriptures. And we twist that word to get us into inaction instead of the very means by which, the very propellant that leads us to act, to have confidence in that action. There is no doubt that the early church that was dispersed was encountering various trials, the quarrels and fights, the murders. James is not using those words figuratively. They were under immense pressure from the outside as they were persecuted. And they were divided on the inside among themselves. How do we respond? What is the faithful way forward? There were some who wanted to fight fire with fire, who, because of their envy and jealousy of what these elite Jewish people had, the easy life that they enjoyed, the things that they could readily consume, they wanted to take power and exact vengeance upon them by any means necessary. James is cautioning them. Friendship with the world, that is, making friendship with the way that the world thinks and does, making friends with the way of the world's wisdom, what they find to be profitable, what they find to say that works, friendship with that is enmity with God. The Jews of that day thought as Jesus prophesied. They thought that when they kicked the Christians out of the synagogues and the temples, when they stoned them and beat them, they thought, Jesus said, that they would be doing it by the will of God, that they were fulfilling God's word. Not so among you, our Lord says. Do not condemn. Judge not, lest you also be judged. Judge not by appearances, he says, but judge with right judgment. That is why James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If we are to judge with right judgment and not be the judge ourselves, that must mean we have to submit ourselves to the revealed will of God, which is found in his word. So that when you state what the word of God plainly states, you are not judging. God is. God has spoken. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee you. The temptation to go along and get along, the temptation to take vengeance, the temptation to fight fire with fire. When you add fire to fire, you only get more fire, more heat, more destruction. It is the easy way to go, though. It is the easiest thing in the world to destroy something. It takes no talent, no thought, no intellect to destroy. It is, though, rather difficult to build, to do good, to do something equal and opposite, not adding to the flames, but extinguishing them. That is difficult work. That takes thought. That takes faith. So don't speak evil against one another. Don't become the judge, but be the doer. What does he tell us to do? To speak the truth in love? To raise our children up in the way that they should go, so that they will not depart from it? To call those who have gone astray to repentance? To feed the needy? To give shelter to the poor, take care of the widow and the orphan. He wants us to build. He wants us to overcome evil by doing good, not by hiding, and certainly not by fighting by the same means. We are always tempted to seek vengeance when the world around us, the elites, begin to press in hard. We're always tempted to burn it down instead of build something new up. We are called to patient endurance, to hold the word of God in our hearts, as Luke talks about, quoting Jesus in the parable of the sower, to hold the word in a good and honest heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. What shall we build? What skills? What understanding, what abilities do we as God's people have here that we can build and confess who we are and what we believe, be a beacon of hope in the midst of the destruction all around us? What shall we build? It almost does not matter what. We could begin everywhere or anywhere. It seems as though it is all crumbling, does it not? But whatever we do, let us pick up our plowshares. Let us pick up our shovels. Let us pick up our prowls. And let us build upon the firm foundation of God's holy word, given to us in the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ as our chief cornerstone. That is the offense that makes the best defense. Let us build. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.